This is the first major health reform to gain congressional approval since the issue hit the political scene 4 years ago. Joining me now to talk about how the legislation will affect people is NPR's Joanne Silberner. Joanne, under this bill, if I lose my job or go to another job, I'd still be able to get health insurance, even if I'd been sick. What else do we need to understand about this idea of portable health insurance?
Well, you're right. It does guarantee that if you have insurance, you can remain insured no matter what your job status. But there are a lot of limits to it. Like if you lose or change jobs and go to buy your own insurance, it could cost you a lot of money. There are no federal limits in this bill on what insurers could charge, and dozens of states do set a limit. So how much of an advantage this bill could be for people who go to buy their own insurance might depend on where they live. And if you go to a company that offers insurance, you couldn't be discriminated against even if you have pre-existing conditions. Your boss would still have to give you insurance. But there's a big loophole in that there's no prohibition, at least on the federal level, to keep that employer from taking everyone to have a pre-existing condition. They could limit coverage for a particular disease if they wanted to, say AIDS or cystic fibrosis. As long as they do it across the board, they could still do it. And also, if you're coming from a medium or a large company, you're going to have to buy your old policy from your old employer for 18 months before this bill kicks in.
The Senate originally passed a fairly focused version of this bill. The House bill was much broader. So what wound up in the compromise the president just signed?
Well, the self-employed are going to get a break. They're going to get tax deductibility for their health insurance. That's something that companies have, that big companies have, but the self-employed haven't. They'll get that now. People who buy their own long-term care insurance, that's now going to be tax deductible. There was a provision in there that would have established what they call mental health parity. It would have required insurers that cover mental health to cover it in the same way that they cover other conditions, but that was dropped out. And of course, what did get into the bill was medical savings accounts.
Medical savings accounts have been quite controversial, even though most Americans are generally unfamiliar with them. So what does the bill create?
Well, the deal here is that starting next year, you or your employer could buy a high deductible insurance policy. That's the kind of policy that kicks in only after you've spent several thousands of your own dollars on health care. But now you could get that money for your own health care by putting away pre-tax dollars, untaxed income, into a bank account to use for those bills. And that would be sort of like an individual retirement account or an IRA. Now, some Democrats in the White House didn't really like that provision. What they were worried about is that healthy people would go into that, leaving less healthy people on conventional insurance, which would jack up the price for regular insurance. So what they did was they put a limit on it. There's now a cap. There'll be 750,000 of these medical savings accounts policies, and they can only be bought by individuals or for people who work for small companies.
And these medical savings accounts have to be accompanied by another insurance policy, a high deductible policy?
Right. The idea being that if you just have the medical savings account, you've got money put away. But what if you get in a catastrophic accident? You're going to be stuck and this would protect you in that case.
A several hundred thousand dollar or even $50,000, $60,000.
Right. Actually, most of these, they kick in at the level of $5,000 or $6,000.
I see. So how many people are then going to be affected by this legislation?
Well, on the portability part, those are where the big numbers are. And theoretically, that's a lot of people. And the General Accounting Office estimates that every year 21 to 25 million people's insurance can be affected by a job change by the breadwinner of the family, the person who's getting the insurance for everyone. But the fact is, most of these people don't have health conditions that might make it difficult to get insurance. So it's not necessarily going to affect them. And a lot of them anyway go to big companies where pre-existing conditions don't count. And a lot of them can still buy their old company's insurance, so they may have no problem even without this bill. So probably rather than in the tens of millions, it could be closer to the hundreds of thousands of people who are going to be affected. But what the bill really does, it relieves people of the anxiety of wondering, you know, what if I lose my job? What's going to happen to my insurance? And that's a big thing. But again, you know, there's a limit. If you don't have insurance already and you try to buy it on your own, this bill's not going to help you.
Well, what about the uninsured? When President Clinton began pushing for health reform, for health care reform, he wanted to do something for all the people that don't have health insurance. Now there are more people without health insurance than ever. This legislation does nothing to help them?
A little bit. I mean, there are 41 million people now who lack insurance, and this may keep that number from getting bigger. But it's not really going to do much for the core group of the uninsured. And these are lower middle class people and the working poor who may have jobs that don't offer insurance and they just can't afford to buy it on their own. This will not drive down the cost of insurance. Now, depending on the November election, something may happen next time out. One of the big topics of discussion on Capitol Hill is various plans to develop health insurance products for children, but we'll have to wait and see what happens with that.
Thanks very much. NPR's Joanne Silberner. Most of the provisions in the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act will go into effect in July of next year.